Hey guys, Future Ian here. I just wanted to pop in real quick before this episode begins to let you know that we had a little bit of an audio snafu for the first 4 minutes of this episode. So I wanted to apologize for the doubling of my voice for the first 4 minutes. I've delayed this episode for too long now, trying to get this sorted out, and I can't wait anymore. And I just want to introduce you guys to these Day Shadow boys. These are some talented motherfuckers, so please, enjoy.
What's up, you beautiful motherfuckers? Welcome back to Rock Talk Podcast. It's been a fucking while. I see your gray hair. Let me get that for you. Anyway, we're joined with Spokane's very own alternative progressive metal band, Day Shadow. It is comprised of Dino Rosa on guitar and backing vocals, Doug Bell on guitar and lead vocals, Jeff Bell, El Brotherino, on drums, and Jeremy Wales on bass. How you boys fucking doing?
Hell yeah.
How you guys doing?
Pretty good, man.
Hell yeah. So I heard through the grapevine, aka Facebook, that you guys just played the Big Dipper out in Spokane on my birthday, November 11th, with Odyssey, We Are William, and Toxic Vengeance. Three solid bands. Four if you count you guys. How was that show?
That was amazing. That was definitely a goal of the band to play there. So it's awesome it finally happened. So shout out to Ryan Levy for, you know, advising one of the bands to reach out to us. And that's how that happened. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, shout out to Dawson and the Big Dipper, man, for having us. And it's always a blast playing out there. We always enjoy the sound, you know, they have good acoustics, good sound system, and it just feels nice to be on the stage at the Dipper, you know. It sounds great. So we were happy.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Dude, that's what's up. And going over to Jeremy for a second. We got a little bit of a special thing going on over here. Another birdie has told me that you have now been with the band for a year.
Indeed, I have. Yeah. It was the Halloween show at Jackson Street, I think, was just about the 1 year mark that I've been in the band. So it's been fucking awesome, man. Dude, absolutely the best one that I've had in any band, honestly. So,
duh. You guys just meld so well together. How I always describe you guys to some of the homies and some of the people out here in Barstow. You guys are just a group of fucking killer musicians that have come together to make just like a killer fucking project. It's amazing. Day Shadow is in its own league compared to the rest of the Spokane music scene, really.
Well, thank you, man.
Thank you, man. Kind words. Kind words.
I mean, I don't wear the shirt for no reason.
Thank you, man.
But also, speaking about Jeremy, there's some really cool things that have been going on with you. You've been endorsed by some big companies recently.
Yeah.
DNA Amps is one of them, like Grundorf Corporation.
And Lakeland Basses is a new one. I'm going to be using Lakeland in our project here coming up next year. And Bartolini is another one that I just recently secured as well. And I've been going after Bartolini for a minute, man. So they're pickups, right? Yeah, pickups and preamps and electronics.
Fuck yeah.
Definitely. My favorite, man, for sure.
That's what's up. And I know from what we've talked about before that you guys are looking into going into the studio this winter for possibly an upcoming album. Can you give me any sneak peeky woos at that? Just some little nuggies of joy to give to me?
Yeah, it's winter time, you know. We're going to start doing the album. There's nothing else to do in the winter. Jeremy's been in the band for a year. We're more solid, so... that should be pretty cool. You know, it's time to put an album out. That's the idea.
Yeah. Nice. Fucking.
We got all the recording gear set up downstairs. Covering Jeff. But yeah, we got all the gear downstairs all mic'd up and ready to go. So, you know, we got all these guys. Luckily, we got a sound engineer in our band. And we got awesome gear to use, so we're just gonna do it in the basement, you know, DIY it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, a lot of new stuff, a lot of new songs, cool styles, so it's gonna be good. It's gonna be a good album.
Fuck definitely. Yeah. Do you have any tentative release dates you can sneak peek me with?
Too early, probably, for that.
I hear it.
Yeah, maybe
tomorrow, 9 a.m.
I knew it. Surprise release. Oh, shit.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah. We've yet to track or anything, so we gotta, you know, we're gonna, as we start tracking, maybe we'll have a better idea.
If it goes well, I think April around there, so see what happens.
Hell yeah.
We don't want to rush it. Hey, man. You don't want to rush it, you know.
Do it you right. Can't rush perfection. Us weird people, we have a way. But yeah, fucking what has you guys, oh Jesus Christ, English, I can speak it. Ah, that joint from earlier sneaking up on me. You know it, only smoke the creepers. So I always bring it up when I talk to the musicians that I have on my podcast or bands when I have them fully on, is everyone always is in their music scene. They always have something that they think that could be done better in their music scene. And I've had the great pleasure of working with a lot of the artists out here out there in the Spokane music scene. And I've gotten to talk with a lot of you guys out there. And I wanted to know, what would you say is the pros and cons right now in the Spokane music scene?
Well, I would say the pros of the Spokane music scene is that with our music, our type of metal, there isn't a lot of metal bands who are doing the same thing we're doing. I would say there's a lot of thrash metal, there's a lot of like metalcore and, you know, classic stuff, but like, yeah, there's not a whole progressive metal, so we kind of fill that niche, or alternative metal as well. And then there's not too many venues, to be honest, and I think there needs to be more venues with good amenities, sound, and all, you know, like as far as venues go, there can definitely be more out here.
Yeah. Especially after the passing of the pin couple years back when the pandemic started.
I think one of the main cons for shows out here is not enough promotion. You know, I know that it comes down to the bar owner or the promoter or whoever, but I feel like I'm not saying every time this is the case, but like for the most of my experience has been like the week before the show, you start seeing some Facebook ads. And I mean, your Facebook ads, it's only as good for a 15 minute shelf life, and then people are going to scroll through it. And then, you know, another con is like, not people, like friends are friends, for instance, like, you know, you have a band and you have your friends and the friends are friends, like they're not coming out to support friends, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of like, check out my band, support my band, but those bands aren't supporting other bands. So I think one of the things that's missing, I feel, in Spokane is like supporting his band, my band, the other person's band. And you know what I mean? Like creating more of a bigger community for us to be a part of and actually support and then bring more people, because like, two friends are going to bring two more friends with them. You know what I mean? And then that's how the scene's going to grow eventually. But yeah, I think that's failing a little bit in that regard.
Yeah, kind of bring it back to what everyone always says, the Seattle music scene in the 90s, where everyone was working together to have one band make it. Once one band did, the next one came in, and everyone worked together to make them blow up. It's just the camaraderie of having everyone work together.
For sure. Yeah. You know, I think that's what one thing we try to do as a band is like, we got to look at, we got to, you know, bring each other up as bands and not kind of compete against one another, because it's not a very competitive scene, to be honest. And I think if it's bands helping bands, it's nothing but positive things. It's not going to be a contest. Music's never a contest.
It's, yeah, it should never be competition. It's like, you know, we all share the stage, have a good time. And then we need to find a way to make it fun to go out again, and make it fun to go to concerts, make it fun to support fucking friends and bands, yeah, and shit. Not just like, we shouldn't only go to a venue when we're playing. You know what I mean? And I'm guilty of that. I'm not perfect. Like, I wish I could go support every friend's band and all everything like that. But I'm going to put my my effort into it, and I'm gonna go to more shows. But I think everybody needs to adapt that mentality a little bit and like supporting each other, and because we're not competing for anything. I mean, the reason to have a band is to entertain a crowd. For the, I mean, sure. You know what I mean? Like we create art for others to enjoy. So.
And I think that's the thing with a lot of people who are not in the music scene, and they're just, you know, people who don't play music or anything. It's like they don't give local bands a chance. They have, you know, what they know of music, the bands they like. A lot of them are popular bands. And they don't really explore their local music scene. So I would encourage people out there in Radio Land to fucking go to your local music scene, check out your local bands. You might find something you like, you know? Might find some music that is like, you know, it hasn't hit the mainstream, but it's dope.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Agree.
Talking about venues, there's actually a new venue springing up here in Spokane. Thank fucking God. I was just talking with Doug about this last night. There's a venue in Northtown. It used to be an old venue here in Northtown, Spokane. And I don't know what they used to be called, but now it's called Omega Music Convention Center.
Yes.
Or something like that. Yeah. And it looks really awesome. It looks like high capacity for people, and has like a legit bar area and stuff. Looks pretty cool. So
yeah, 600
legit stage, good sound. So it looks pretty cool. And Jeremy's friend who worked sound at the Dipper for our show apparently has a tie into that place. Sound there, or what's
He's one of the main heads there and stuff. So
started the business.
Him and a Technisha friend.
That's what's up.
Matt Lefebvre.
Matt.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Matt. Shout out, Matt.
Dude.
Matt, word up, Matt.
Fuck yeah.
When the TDK boys played the Dipper, that's all they had to say was good things with the fucking sound.
Yeah, it was good shit.
It's amazing what you can do. A good sound on your side, you know.
Yeah. Right. It's just like you could take my poor guitar skills and make it sound freaking fairly decent. You could turn that blink blink blink. Make it sound like a Justin Bieber song or something. I don't know.
Get all twinkly with
me. Hey. So. Beer run.
What you been up to over there?
Over here, man, it's been it's what I like about a small town. It's pretty chill, you know, fucking everyone knows each other. We just get to chill out. The one thing that's been the biggest struggle is trying to get a project started out here. Fucking I've been slowly getting myself rooted into the music scene out here, like I've done in Vegas and what I've been doing out there in Spokane. But as of right now, it's starting to look a little stagnant, but there's a couple of local bands that are coming up. One's called Amnesty for the Martyr. Fucking pretty killer. I don't know if I'd say if they're metalcore or deathcore, but kind of like a little bit in the middle between it. So there's a pretty decent metal scene growing up out here in the high desert. So it's pretty cool.
I noticed that on your Skype profile, it says you're from Sparks, Nevada. Is that true?
So here is the history of Nub. I was born in Miami, and I lived out there for like the first year and a half of my life. Then for the first 4 years after that, I was in Vegas. And then I did the majority of my growing up in Fallon, Nevada. Tiny little beatnik, bink, 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 town. Alabama. Good old Alabama. And then Ferntucky was where I also lived. That shit never popped up on Facebook, so I ended up just putting Sparks. all these different social Sparks. They don't recognize the small towns too much.
Reno's so close to hell you can see Sparks.
As you said, Nevada, there's a notification with Nevada came up.
That's Ledger Wood.
They're listening.
I only say this because I moved up here from Reno 5 years ago, and that's how I met all these guys. I know Northern Nevada pretty well.
Hey, fucking Pyramid Lake, that's the place to kick it. Those little fucking drop offs.
A lot of bad shit that happens out there.
Yeah.
A lot of party and a lot of tragedy.
Oh yeah. So another question I like asking my musician friends, and I've been holding out on ever asking you guys this when we're all just chilling, because I knew that this day was gonna happen. What is the one piece of gear in your arsenal that if you realized when you went over to the show that you left it at home, you were like, gotta go back and get it? Whether it be distortion pedal all the way up to fucking a special pair of drumsticks you like, you know, shit like that.
Ooh, for me, I'm so picky with so many things that anything can go wrong if I forget any item. Like, if I don't have my drumsticks, like, my drumsticks are special and they're weighted very specifically, and I'm already used to those, so any regular stick would feel kind of off. Mm-hmm. Obviously, cymbals, they're fucked, you gotta go back for them. My trick drum pedals, if I was to borrow some other drummer's pedal, it would, the action would be different, the feel would be different. So for me, whether it's a drum, a cymbal, or a stand, or a rack piece, like, I would have to go back and get it. There's no other way. Yeah. I mean, you can get by stuff, but you play with your gear, you practice on your gear, you want to perform with your gear, you know, so you get used to everything, you know. I have like muscle memory for everything, just the height of everything, you know, how many degrees between a drum and the separation, and how my pedals are set up and how the action is, and like, so I think leaving one of those million things of my drum kit behind would be fucking detrimental for me.
Yeah.
I can still make it work, but it would suck, you know.
Yeah, especially after seeing your kit. It's like down to an exact fucking science. It's like some futuristic shit.
Like, if I left my Day Shadow pick, which you can find on our merch table for $1, I would be destroyed.
It's over.
Actually,
shameless plug.
My 14 grind pedal? Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mine would have to be my bass. It's made in such a specific way where it's like contoured at the heel or the lower bow, where it's just so comfy, man. So I'd have to like go and grab my bass. Anything else like amp pedals, I could even go clean and it'd still be a good show, dude, without any pedals or anything.
You're so cool.
He gets a couple fucking endorsements in the ego through the roof.
It's just so comfy, man. You know what I mean? Like I could play on another bass. I could get away with it, but I'd rather play my own, you know?
Yeah.
Like, definitely.
Yeah, I would probably agree with Jeremy. Like, my guitars, they have the tuning that I need. And then, especially the baritone guitar I'm using, has a drop G. So it has to, I need that those tunings to play the songs. So I would say guitars as well.
That's what's up. Yeah. Fucking the best thing I ever heard was from an answer. And unfortunately, it's never been uploaded because the footage got corrupted. Was one guy told me the two extra high E strings. And I was just like, explain. And he's just like, it never works for me. Every time I'm at least going to have to replace it once because it'll snap on me.
So midway through the set, it snaps on him?
Yeah. Wow. He just, that's like, special. Always, I was like telling him, I was like, I think you might be tuning that bad boy just a little too high.
Yeah. either that or it's just like, he's strumming so hard, it's, you know.
True.
String, who knows?
Or the setup of the instrument, the tension of the strings, and then no matter what, it'll just break after.
Like, yeah, if you rock the wrong gauge, and then you're tuning really high, and it has so much tension on the string, probably break it.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh man. So when you guys think about the shows that you have performed at, when it comes down to the bar venues, the legitimate, like, I wouldn't say like concert hall, but that's the best way of saying it without actually being a concert hall. Like, it's placed specifically just for concerts. Versus festivals. Was there any different type of feel to it for you guys going into it? Or is it always just the same? Is there a different vibe you feel going into a different type of setting for each show?
Well, if you define festival as like an outdoor thing, kind of like Altfest was, you know, a couple of years ago, there is a different vibe with that. Yeah. And then as far as like playing a normal gig at a legit venue with good sound, there's a different vibe with that as well. And I think it's what it comes down to is the lineup of bands that are on that. And then also just like the... Even the layout of the venue, or you know, it's just like what inclines people to talk more to each other and stuff. So,
yeah, I think more. I think like I don't know how to explain this very well, but like the better the equipment and the bigger the stage, and like you know what I mean. If it's fancier, you want to be more on your game, and like you're a little bit more focused on the professional look, the professional sound, and being on point. Not that you're not don't want to be on point if it's not that experience, but like. You know, I'll give you an example. Like we played a stage and it was like 105 degree weather on fucking stage. And we were just playing to fucking survive, dude. We were like dying from the heat, you know? So it just depends. It just, you know, and then you kind of like, you embody this fucking warrior. Like, let's fucking do it. Let's just go to the end. All the songs. And then you're fucking destroyed at the end, you know?
Or you
can... I like, that's a cool vibe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then there's venues like Lucky You. Everything's fucking delicious. Like, the sound is, like, fucking on point. And like the Dipper. So you want to be on point on your game because, like, people... Because the audio is so good. People are really going to tell what's going on, you know? So
yeah.
The vibe, for me, it depends on the crowd, the stage, the quality of the sound, the engineer. So, yeah. But all experiences for me are fucking awesome, dude. Regardless of the stage or location, I love it, you know?
Yeah. Like the gig he was talking about was All Age Rage at the Viking, which was a six stage. You know, we had a decent sound. I had some issues with what I plugged into as far as like goes, but overall we had a great time. We were sweating our balls off, and then poor Jeremy got heat stroke. Because he had a fucking hoodie on.
I wasn't thinking about it.
This fucker downed a couple of shots of whiskey and hit the stage in 105 degree weather with a hoodie on.
He was just like, I'm going to throw hands with God tonight.
But idiot. He almost died there.
But that's what I mean. That's what I mean. It takes over, and then you become invincible, and you do a gig, and then you're done, and then you know what I mean. So
it's not adrenaline.
Yeah, adrenaline's killer.
I mean, that tunnel vision you get when you get locked into it, and you're like, just the groove takes over. Everything else couldn't give less of a fuck about.
For sure.
Hell yeah. Oh man. So we're coming up close to the end. Now, before I do that, one of the things I like to do, normally I do the top five most influential albums for the guests. But since we got four of you guys, I'm going to say for each of you, the top two most influential albums on you musically as an artist. Not just Dayshout as a whole. If you guys want to collaborate and tell me what you think on Dayshout as a whole, go for it. But for each of you as a musician, what would you say are the top two most influential albums for you?
Yeah, I think we'll probably just do person by person. We all tend to like metal, but we all like different types of metal. I feel like, you know, so, and that's, I guess, the beauty of this project is that we all have a lot of different influences. Who wants to go first?
I like Barney and Where the Sun Shines Purple. That's one of my favorite.
Oh, dude. Put that on. Hit me with fucking Clifford Goes to the Park. Good reading material. Game over.
The top two for me that I can think of is Nothing by Meshuggah and the first Animals as Leaders album. Animals as Leaders kind of went to shit for me after that album. I mean, they're phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to track my team. I think any musician would admire them. I still do, you know what I mean? But I think for me, it was that first album it kind of broke. It did something musically, not just in the world, but for me, you know? So I pull a lot of Matt Garska inspiration, and I think those are the two that I can most quickly think of.
Nice.
I think Testament, The Gathering, and Far Beyond Riven, Pantera, those are the albums that made me rage.
Rage.
All
Mine would probably be
next question. Next question.
probably Deadwing by Porcupine Tree and Frizzle Fry by Primus. Those two.
Yeah, I knew. I had a feeling Primus was gonna be in there.
Oh,
I mean, shit. Like, I'm just waiting for the day where you and Les Claypool do a collab together.
Oh, that would be sick, man! Like, coming up with Neon Six String or something. That'd be dope, dude. Like, hell yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, for me, I would say probably Muse Absolution. Album came out in 2004. Highly inspired my fucking guitar playing and my singing and everything. And then another album is a recent album. It's by Loathe, and it's called I Let It In, and It Took Everything. That's my really my favorite album as of right now. So,
hell yeah.
Yep.
What about you, man? What are your top two albums?
Oh, yeah.
Let's shut the light up for a second.
All right. So, in all honesty, for me, I'd have to say the one that hits the hardest for me would be Waking the Fallen from Avenged Sevenfold. And in all honesty, this one's taking it over for me right now. Slipknot's most recent effort, the End So Far, that one has blown me away, especially for being the last album on their contract for their album deal. Instead of phoning it in, it was really fucking awesome. Lyrically wise, it was very experimental, but it definitely brought back some of the aggression from the early days of Slipknot that I really have been getting jiggy with.
Hell yeah. Nice. Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews on that too. Like, I heard people either love it or hate it. But
do you feel Slipknot is better pre or post Joey Jordan's?
Oh, man. In all honesty, I gotta say, kind of on par. And I hope Joey was cool with Jay, because Jay Weinberg is one killer fucking drummer. I mean, he's a beast. Makes sense. His daddy's fucking Max Weinberg. Fucking any drummer knows that if you're like that man, fucking that name alone, you hear Max Weinberg and you know you're in for some fucking good drumming. But fucking Jay has really proved his own in these last three albums with Slipknot, to where I really think that if Joey was alive now, I think he would give a seal of approval. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was never the biggest Slipknot fan, but I agree with you. Yeah, it's just like Lamb of God, for instance, you know? I think it was better with Chris Adler, you know? But the guy does a good job, and he... The thing with Lamb of God too is like, when Chris was in there, it was innovative, and then now you just hear a playback, and then you hear a contribution on top of Chris Adler's shit. That's how I feel about Lamb of God. So it's kind of the same feeling towards Slipknot.
Yeah. But
anyway, I haven't heard any records. I'll go check that out since it's your favorite.
Yeah, I would definitely give it a try. It's experimental, and I think the main reason why it gets shit on is because there are what everyone's been complaining about since Volume 3 is Corey's doing clean singing on some choruses or verses here and there, and it's just like, you just gotta embrace the musicality of it, people.
Yeah.
Just sonically, it's pleasing. Sure, it's not fucking aggressive in your face punching you in the nose the entire way through the song, but you're still gonna get beaten the fuck up throughout the majority of it.
And I think, you know, we are all in the same like wavelength. We like to mix it up. We like to have cleans and, you know, screams, and that's what we do with our music. So we're all we love that kind of dynamic of soft versus heavy, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I love it. That's why I love coming to your guys' shows and booking you on the shows that I have control on like that, because whenever I'm there and I get to watch you guys live, it's fucking killer. Like, that's why I'm really looking forward to the album, so I can just have you guys playing while I'm at work, because it's just like, I'm constantly just sitting there, it's just like, I need a Day Shadow fix. The only thing I got is Red Moon on Spotify, so it's just like, I got that in my Booty Jams playlist, but I'm like, when this album comes out, I'm just going to be sitting here just going, jamming out in the liquor store.
Hell Do you have a song that we play that you like more than all the others?
I don't expect you to know. We don't have anything to refer to online.
If I remember correctly, I think it's Omnipresence.
Omnipresence.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's our next show, man. We're gonna dedicate it to you.
Oh.
That's our pop rock go-to.
Like if you cry every time. They don't care.
Dude, I know it's about us right now, but we'll turn it to you and say thank you for everything you've ever done, man. You're the hardest fucking person I know in the music scene. You give it everything, every fucking time, and we appreciate everything you do, man, for having us and for involved and for everything you're doing, man.
I appreciate you, motherfuckers.
Taco Bell.
Yeah,
cheers to Taco Bell.
Hell yeah. To the ass blasting that's going to happen 6 hours from now.
What did you order?
Oh, I took advantage of the nacho fries being back. I'm a slut for those nacho fries. Oh, man. I was huddled in the corner of my fucking dining room table like a goblin just going. I got a beefy 5-layer burrito waiting for me at home. I looked at it and I was like, shh, you're next. Oh, man. Well, guys, it's been a fucking pleasure talking to you. If you guys ever want to fucking see these guys live, they have shows coming up. In a couple weeks, they're playing over at Jackson Street Bar on December 3rd. It's a 21 and over show, but it's $15 a ticket. And that ticket proceeds go to these lovely faces. So if you like these people, you should definitely go. March 4th, they're playing over at Cruiser's Bar for their TWTYE's First of the Year Festival. That one's also 21 plus and $15. And they're also playing the 420 Fest on April 22nd. 2 days late, if you ask me, over at Jackson Street Bar. It is also 21 plus and also $15. You're definitely going to want to check these guys out. $15 is not a bad price. I guarantee just their set alone is be well worth the admission. And if they have any other of the bands that are up there in Spokane, they all are killer. They're going to blow you away. There's no reason not to go to one of these shows. Support your local music scene. Support these motherfuckers. Do you have anything to say to my audience, anything you guys would like to promote, the floor is yours.
Well, before we get into promotion, I just, whether you're a loyal fan or a newcomer, we appreciate all the fans and all the people interested in coming to check us out and in the band and all everything like that, because without fans, it isn't really a band. It's just a project in your basement, you know? So we're appreciative of every single head that turns up to the shows. And, you know, we just want to love you back. So thank you for everything, everyone.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
What he said.
Absolutely.
And then promote next year. Just look out for the album. It's gonna be great. So oh, yeah. we'll hit you guys with that, and then we'll sign yours up just for you.
Oh, wow. Hey, all right.
Stop.
I'm getting randy at work. Oh man, it's always a blast talking with you guys. I appreciate this. It took forever, but goddamn it, has it been worth it to get this set up. And we'll definitely have you guys back on when it's time for this album. And maybe we could discuss in depth some of those tracks.
Yeah, it sounds like a plan. Yeah. We'll do a part two.
Hell yeah. Well, guys, ladies and gentlemen, Day Shadow, Doug, Dino, Jeremy, Jeff, these guys are killer. Like I said, go catch them live. Support your local music team. Rock the